You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
6 minutes after eight right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you are having a great start to your day. Some clouds across a good portion of Wisconsin right now. Maybe some rain showers throughout the day on and off as well. So hopefully wherever you're at, it is dry. I know we had a little rain in Madison very, very early on, giving way to some cooler temperatures. And then by your Memorial Day weekend, looks like we're going to warm some things back up, at least as of right now. Mother Nature is fickle. Things are bound to change. We'll keep you updated. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. You can always get involved. Talk to us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It's 8:07, and now it's the start of your day. But don't leave before you learn some things. Here's some stuff you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
This is how fast the news cycle goes. I forgot all about Luigi Mangione.
Yes.
I forgot all about what a dreamboat he was. I forgot about how he suddenly made murder okay to some people. No matter what the cause was, murder, not okay. I'm going to go out on a limb here, Jamie. That's a hot take. Kids are going to at me. How dare you say murder is not okay? But I'm going to stand by it. I'll fight for it. Well, you remember Luigi Mangione. He killed United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Some evidence found, or he's accused of it, even though we saw him on camera. Some evidence found in Luigi Mangione's backpack at the time of his arrest will be excluded from his upcoming trial, according to a New York judge ruling yesterday, though many other key items, including a 3D printed gun and writings expressing frustrations with the healthcare industry, will be allowed. Well, probably enough. Although some of Mangione's belongings were tossed from the case, the mixed ruling is largely a victory for prosecutors who will be able to show jurors the so-called manifesto and the firearm they say was used to kill United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Mangione's attorneys argued that local police illegally searched his backpack when he was arrested at a Pennsylvania McDonald's in early December of 2024, days after Thompson was fatally shot on a Manhattan sidewalk. Judge Gregory Caro ruled prosecutors can use the gun and a red notebook with handwritten entries at trial. Those items, among others, were retrieved as part of a valid search, according to the Altoona Police Department's protocol. But items found during the initial search at the McDonald's, including a loaded magazine, passport, wallet, cell phone, computer chip, those are going to be excluded. So although police officers said they searched the bag at the time in part because they feared it may contain a weapon, Caro found the justification did not hold up to scrutiny. Oh, all right. Mangione's defense attorneys had pushed for the backpack's contents to be barred from the state's case because they allege it was searched illegally without a warrant. Prosecutors and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office denied the defense's claim and insisted the searches were legal and proper.
All right.
Remember how crazy? Not the case. I mean, the case seems pretty cut and dry to
me. Sure.
But the reaction? Now, I think we all have a shared disdain for insurance companies because they love taking our money. They don't always like to pay out. Even if you have quote unquote good insurance, which
right.
I am very fortunate we do have quote unquote good insurance. There's still stuff where you go, seriously? You're going to, like the last insurance company we had, my wife is diabetic. She had to argue with them because they said they would cover the insulin, but they would not cover the needles. And the argument was, well, then how do you get the insulin into your body? Well, those aren't necessary. Have you ever taken insulin? You
don't
drink
it. Pretty
necessary. Yeah, it's not a suppository. You have to inject it. So we all have that disdain for insurance companies, but this was a premeditated, cold-blooded murder. This was not the way we deal with problems or not the way we should deal with problems.
Yeah.
But all these people who idolized him, that was crazy to me.
Why do we do this in this country? I mean,
because he was cute.
Well, okay, so great, fine, sure.
Well, that was the justification.
But do you remember a few years ago when there was that quote unquote hot felon, that Jeremy Meeks, who eventually became a fashion model? Why do we do this in this country? Like,
because
they're felons.
We're superficial. We lack critical thinking.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why we do this. I think it's weird.
It is. Well, you're right. It is weird.
It's very weird.
There's no reason that we should say, oh, just because that guy is objectively pretty, he must be elevated above the rest.
If
Mangione had like a giant lump on his forehead and his teeth were missing and he was unkempt, people would have been, lock him up.
Put him away
so we don't have to cast our eyes on him.
I think it's very strange in this country how we basically idolize these types of people and how we give them a pass because they look like they couldn't do these things, or they're handsome or they're beautiful or whatever it is. I think that that's a interesting hot take that we have here in the United States.
Well, but Frank said there's a whole website, a whole account called Mugshotties. They post pictures of mugshots of attractive people. And I've seen that. I've seen the guy mugshot. I've seen female mugshots. And they're like, okay. And is it, let's
be
honest.
It's not glamour shots, people.
Is anybody really that attractive in their mugshot?
No.
Oh, Parker, wait a minute. Parker, you're familiar with mugshotties?
Yeah, I've seen
mugshotties. Am I saying that correctly? Mugshotties?
Mugshotties, yeah.
All right.
Good job, Brian.
I mean, this isn't glamour shots, right? Like, this is your mugshot. You've been convicted. Not everybody can be as ugly as Nick Nolte was in his mugshot.
That's a classic.
It's so bad.
When people go to get their driver's license, they think it's glamour shots. So, could you take it again?
No, you're hideous.
It's your ID.
You get one shot at it, and that's all you get. I mean, nobody's going to give you a bunch of attempts to take your mugshot or your driver's license.
No, and also when you're
photo.
Showing your ID, you're standing right there.
Yeah.
So people can look at you. This is what you look like. Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if you don't believe that's what you look like, oh, well.
I'm just glad that the court system is, even with this much publicity, is doing what a good court system does. It's called due process, people. And whether you agree with it or not, judges in their very right mind to, you know, continue to follow the Constitution, no matter how you feel about Mangione and the case. Just saying.
All right, next up.
We do have some other headlines of stuff you need to know. We're going to go to a whole different continent. We're going to the Congo and to Africa. Ooh. Because Congo will open 3 Ebola treatment centers in eastern Ituri, the province. And the World Health Organization is now sending a team of experts to the country following an outbreak of a rare type of the virus that has killed more than 110 people. An American doctor in Congo is among those newly confirmed cases of the virus, with no approved vaccines or medicines, according to officials in Congo. Over the weekend, the WHO declared the Ebola outbreak a public health emergency of international concern. As of Monday, there were over 118 deaths and 300 suspected cases in Ituri and North Kivu provinces, and one death and one suspected case in neighboring Uganda. Now, experts say the number of cases is likely to rise as health officials conduct more surveillance. The Bundibugyo virus spread undetected for at least a few weeks. Because early tests looked for the wrong strain of Ebola, health officials got false negatives and then lost weeks of response time, at least according to the director of the Georgetown University Center for Global Health Policy and Politics, who also said that health experts are now playing catch-up against a very dangerous pathogen. He also went on to criticize the Trump administration's earlier decision to withdraw from the WHO and make deep cuts in foreign aid. The severity of the symptoms and the rising caseload are fueling a growing sense of panic in the neighborhoods of Bunia. Now, Congo has said that the first person died from the virus on April 24th in Bunia, and the body was then returned to a different area with a much larger population, which caused this outbreak to escalate. An American doctor is among the cases in Bunia. Dr. Peter Stafford is his name, and he'd been treating patients at a hospital there where he developed symptoms, at least according to Surge, which is the organization that he currently works for. There are 3 other employees of Surge who are working at the same hospital, including Stafford's wife, but none of them, as of right now, are showing any symptoms.
Ew.
Not
this
great.
Is starting to spread a lot. Remember, we had an Ebola scare, I don't know, at some point in my lifetime. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you start seeing, and I think, don't you think now since COVID-19, whenever you see some weird medical issue start to spread, or you see some sort of virus start to spread, people get really nervous. And for good reason, right? I get it.
There, it's one of 2 things. yes, they could get really nervous. Or two, they're like, forget it. This is,
yeah.
You know, the denier, people who still deny COVID don't care about Huntavirus
no.
or Ebola or Bonnie Wanna Cracker virus or whatever that was, whatever we called that one. But so people will, you know, and you saying that there's no vaccines,
right.
People are going to go, well, the vaccines kill you anyway, so why
what
bother?
What I think worries me most when I hear stories like this is just what this expert from Georgetown University said. We have done away with so much research in this country in mm-hmm. just the last year and a half, basically, that it really does scare me, because I don't know if anything were to be more serious down the road. And I'm not underplaying how serious this is in Africa right now. But at the same time, it worries me, where would we be? Right? Because we don't have research. We don't have the information that we once did. We don't have the researchers. We've cut off funding. We've done all of that.
We've pulled out of the WHO. We're just, yeah, because it's a dumbing down of this country.
Yeah.
We, from the top down, we distrust science. We distrust medicine. We distrust anybody who they think they're smarter than us. Guess what? They are.
Yeah.
It's okay to not be the smartest.
Yeah.
Try not to be the dumbest, but it's okay not to be the smartest.
Sometimes you need smarter people around you.
Right. You always need smarter people around. Look at everything we use and think to yourself, honestly, are you smart enough to have come up with a computer?
No.
Are you smart enough to have figured out how to pasteurize your milk?
No.
I know everybody wants to drink raw milk till you get sick, but... So think about all that. And those were all done by smart people.
Yeah. I mean,
we watched Artemis. We watched it fly around the moon.
Right. I say no for myself. And I know several people who would also answer no, because we know we're not smart enough to do those things, right?
No, I'm not. And there's no shame in admitting it.
No.
All right, real quick, we only have a minute or so. The Supreme Court acted on the Voting Rights Act brought by Native American tribes on Monday, saying a closely watched ruling needs to be reconsidered after the High Court weakened the civil rights era law. The justices ordered lower courts to take another look at the decision that went against tribes and undercut a key enforcement mechanism, namely lawsuits from voters and advocacy groups. They've been key to enforcement, bringing most of the lawsuits filed under a provision of the Voting Rights Act known as Section 2. But in North Dakota, a North Dakota case brought by two Native American tribes, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that only the federal government can sue to enforce the law. The decision conflicted with decades of case law. The Supreme Court blocked it in July, allowing the tribes' preferred maps to temporarily stay in place. An attorney for Native American Rights Fund, Lenny Powell, said sending the case back was the right call and vowed to keep fighting to ensure that Native voters have the ability to vote and affect change in their community, as should be the right of everybody in this country, whether your land was stolen from you or not. We should all be allowed to vote, but...
Just making it harder and harder for every section of the country to actually cast a vote, because if people show up and vote, well, it's harder to win. Turns out
that's
a flaw in the plan.
As a straight white man, I don't know what you're talking about. All my rights are perfectly ensconced. Parker, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right. After this, hey, this is some good news for Wisconsin hospitals. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
It's 8:19. I am Jamie Martinson, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you are having a great Tuesday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Oh, Jamie, always, always. Listen, we're having a production meeting while we're supposed to be doing the show.
That's all right. We'll talk about it later.
A little, sidebar, all of that. But pretty good news for Wisconsin because Wisconsin hospitals are finally going to receive delayed reimbursement for COVID-19 response. Sure, it's a few years late, but better late than never. A federal disaster recovery program is reimbursing some Wisconsin hospitals for costs related to COVID-19 response years after the start of the pandemic. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or do you like to just call it FEMA? I do. Recently announced $5.4 billion in funding awarded from its public assistance program to states, local governments, and healthcare systems across the country. Now, this is what we should be spending the money on. Not a ballroom, not redoing the reflecting pond, not some stupid arch. This is the kind of thing we need to spend our money on. Because, again, it is our money,
yes,
right? Not a slush fund like we were talking about yesterday. Yeah. That's your money, too, but you're never going to see anything about this. So the agency reported that $41 million went to facilities here in Wisconsin, including $20.8 million to Aurora Healthcare in eastern Wisconsin. University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics in Madison received $4.8 million. And according to a FEMA press release, $2.7 million went to Ascension Southeast Wisconsin Hospital in Milwaukee. So I like to hear that.
I think it's great. I mean, especially in a time when our hospitals, especially since COVID, have been struggling, right? I mean, we've seen hospital closures through several of these different entities that you just named, especially in our rural areas. And so the fact that, you know, maybe they're getting a little bit of needed assistance that can maybe go to something that's they've needed to upgrade or more staffing, whatever it is, just to replenish some costs that they lost during COVID. This is the right move for this particular administration. I think it's way overdue for these hospital systems, but it's a good move for the administration.
Yeah. So the grants had been awarded to cover cost of contracted medical staff, supplies, the expansion of facilities, all around COVID-19. Aurora Healthcare didn't provide comment to WPR about their funding. A press release from FEMA said the agency conducted thorough reviews of costs claimed by the healthcare systems in order to identify duplication of benefits, specifically with patient care revenue. I just hope this isn't like the story we talked about a couple weeks ago, where all of a sudden they come back.
Yes.
Because they made a mistake. FEMA made a mistake. Not because of the hospitals. And they come back and go, no, you give us all that money back, because there was a clerical error on our end and we shouldn't have sent you the money.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, you already
did. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, a lot of times our money is not spent on good things. But these hospitals, like you said, Jamie, we're seeing hospitals close all over, especially in rural areas. We're seeing staffing shortages everywhere. We are in a crisis, and you've got full areas of this state that don't have access to certain care because we've got a lot of rural areas.
Yeah.
So we got to keep getting there.
I mean, one of the things that I think we forget is what a double whammy COVID was for hospitals, right? Because their costs went way up. There was more staff, there were more supplies, there was more demand. But at the same time, their revenue dropped because surgeries had to be delayed, routine care had to be delayed, and that financial hit didn't just disappear because, you know, things ended up opening up post-COVID. But now we're starting to see those ripple effects. And so, you know, if access is starting to change, especially outside of our major cities, and if rural hospitals closes or cut services, that's beyond inconvenience. That means, you know, care that you might not get, longer ambulance rides. You might not get the care at all, maybe delayed care. You've got fewer options for emergencies. And then that just starts affecting entire regions, communities, and That's not how you stay healthy, obviously, right? Like, I shouldn't have to state that, but it feels like you kind of do in this day and age, because this is the ramifications that we're seeing between our higher insurance costs and then, you know, the hospital issues that we see time and time again. So anytime we can fund these things, I know it's hard to give this administration a win, and I'm going to assume that some of this, going back through records, that it probably happened before this administration came into effect. What I will say is that this administration doesn't always do the right thing and uses that money for something that maybe isn't necessary. They did the right thing here.
I don't know what you're talking about. Things that aren't necessary. No bid contracts that balloon in cost.
Right.
All the craziness that's going on.
Yeah.
You don't think hosting a UFC fight on the lawn of the White House is necessary, Jamie? You don't believe that a triumphant arch, much like the, some would say the Arc de Triomphe, or you could say the Nazi arch in Berlin, you don't think those are necessary?
I don't believe that it, when we are dealing with the higher costs that we are in this country, no, I don't believe right now those things are necessary.
Do you not believe then that our reflecting pool looked
I think
boring?
Our reflecting pool was just fine. That's what I believe.
Well, would you agree that we all need to be distracted from the fact that we're in a war? Should we not think about that? Should we not think about
well,
that people
I
are
if you
crying
have
on the internet because they just put $100 in their gas tank?
I believe if you have an agenda, then yes, you do need to distract people from that.
Oh,
but I believe that those are real issues that we're all facing, along with the healthcare situation
wow.
that we've been encompassing.
You are a bummer.
I am not fun on a Tuesday morning.
You are not fun. All these cool things that are going to be added. There's now talk of a new structure garden or a statue garden along the Potomac.
What statues are going to be in there? Do we
I
know
think
this
we
yet?
We all know.
I mean, I'm just wondering if we've seen those reports yet. I have a pretty good guess.
It'll be great Americans.
I quit being distracted by toys many, many, many years ago. So.
All right. Well, listen, is it better to leave racists out in the open where we can see them or to shun them? We'll talk about that and how it ties to baseball after this. I'm Brian Noonan. She's Jamie Martins. And this is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:35 right now. Hopefully your day is going well. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is how you get involved. Well, there was an incident at a baseball game the other night, and I'm wondering if this was handled the right way. Because should we leave racists and objectionable people out in the open so they're easier to identify, or should we just push them back into the shadows where they dwelled in the past and we all knew kind of they were there, but they never came out? So the reason I'm wondering about this is the Washington Nationals, they identified and banned for at least one person because of a sign they displayed promoting white nationalist ideology during a game. So somebody brought this in, a banner, they unfolded it. The flag that promoted a white nationalist website with a message that called to, quote, save America, deport 100+ million. It was tossed over a railing for nearly a minute before security removed the flag, then the fans who
wow.
were in attendance. Yeah. An usher at the game attempted to confiscate the banner, but the individuals fled the scene. Multiple reports say the investigators have identified at least one individual who has since been banned from the ballpark, while a joint effort with Metro Police is underway as a follow-up to the investigation. Now, they didn't identify this guy, the Nationals did not, but right-wing activist Jake Lang, this won't surprise you, Jamie. He was involved in the January 6th Capitol attack, for which he was pardoned, and which out of this slush fund, he might actually make some money off of that. But that's another story. He appeared to take credit for the incident on social media, mentioning the need for an escort out of the stadium. Yeah, you're lucky you made it out of the stadium. And I know, we're not supposed to promote violence. Brian, that's your baser instinct. Yeah. Sometimes you're basic. And I've said this to you before. Some people have never been punched in the face and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy falls into that category.
I mean, you're right, because at one point, you know, these types of acts were basically left in the shadows. But these types of things are now emboldened, right? Like, they're praised
right.
by certain subsects of the internet. There's influencers who make their living basically being these people. Jake Lang,
yeah.
one of those people, right?
Yep.
So that's what I think worries me, because they used to be in the shadows, but they're very much commonplace now. And
Is it better for us to see them out in the light of day, though? because they were operating under the radar. Now, the reason they're in the light of day, that's a whole other subject, mm-hmm. and it's disturbing because I can't believe there were this many people like this
right.
that have now feel entitled to come out and spew this kind of garbage. But is it better that we see them and we know exactly where they are and who they are and can call them out rather than have them go back into the shadows?
But I think it's better when we can call them out, but do they care? I mean, these are people who are proud, a lot of them, of these views. And I don't think they care if they're called out. I mean, if they're banned from a ballpark for life, they don't care. They did this as a statement so that whatever they thought was going to make it onto a TV camera so that millions of people potentially saw it. They don't care if they're called out. That's actually why they're doing this, because they do feel emboldened and they feel like more people need to hear this message, because if they didn't, they would stay in the shadows. We wouldn't actually be having to have these conversations about
groups. But then they play the victim card afterwards.
Of course.
That they're being discriminated against. Oh, boo-hoo.
Well,
people don't like us. Well, because you're a jerk.
What I think is interesting is I've been following some of this on social media, and the amount of people, thousands of people commenting on this who are actually defending this and saying that this is a violation of First Amendment rights and ballparks shouldn't have the right to do this or censor these things. Are you kidding?
It's right on the Nationals website.
Right.
They have a specific policy. They have policies that prohibit signs containing derogatory content related to race, ethnicity, color, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. And they also, those banners have to comply with mm-hmm. MLB. You know all this going in. And if you don't, that's on you, because it's all in writing. Some of it's on the ticket. Some of it's
sure.
on the website. You know. So this is not the First Amendment.
No.
And for all of the people who quote and cry and wrap themselves in the First Amendment, who have no idea what the First
right.
Amendment is, I have one hyphenated word for you, and it's shut up, because you have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it's always stunning that that's the argument that people make. And
free speech.
You know, and let's be realistic. In October of last year, we saw an incident similar play out at American Family Field, where a fan was banned after that viral video, if you remember, way back machine, of basically her threatening to call an ICE agent on a Dodgers
yes.
fan during an argument. She was an attorney. She sat on the Make-A-Wish Foundation. She lost her job. She lost her position on the foundation, and she
was banned. I bet she wishes she had shut her mouth.
Right? And she was banned from AmFam for life as well because,
good.
Again, derogatory statements. There are certain things that are free speech. There are certain things that are just go against the absolute fabric of being human, right?
Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences.
No.
Can we all please get that through our heads? Yes. Also, if you make some sort of scene in a place that is owned by someone else, you are in their house. You
yeah.
are in the Nationals building.
It's a private
venue.
They
own it. They can decide.
Yes,
it's private. If you came into my house and hung that banner, you don't have freedom of speech in my house. You can say it, but then you have to take the consequences of what's going to happen, and you can't complain. He stifled my speech.
And it's
no.
Also about, I mean, it's private venue. It's about keeping the environment safe and about welcoming everyone. I mean, let's be realistic. When you look at the makeup of a baseball team, right? You are seeing
people.
Well,
that's problematic anyway.
You are seeing people of all colors, all backgrounds. You are seeing black people. You are seeing brown people. You are seeing Caucasian people. That is just the makeup of a baseball team. And then to go in their house to unfurl a banner like that, what did you think was going to happen? I mean, if you're these people and you saw that, what did you think was going to happen? And what I love about this is I understand that they did this because it was an audience of millions. But to me, it's a little cowardly as well, right? Because at the same time, you know you're
yeah.
probably going to get banned from the National Stadium. But at the same time, the people around you probably couldn't read the banner, because it's right in front of them. They're not hanging over a railing, essentially, to read it. The people across.
And you're also lucky nobody
the people across can't do anything about it. And by the time anybody around you realize what was on it, you're on the run. And you're running because you can't even own it, right? So to me, it just looks cowardly when you do something like this.
Most of that, most of those actions are cowardly. What are your reactions to this? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Cowardly always seems to be an underbelly of this because these people who make these kind of statements always come off, they want to come off as alpha males, mm-hmm. which is a misnomer anyway, but they always want to come off as the toughest guys. And man, they turn into crybabies faster than anybody I've ever seen. They cry about their freedom of speech. They cry because somebody hit them because they, you know, they called them a name and somebody didn't, you know, mm-hmm. some people don't like being called certain names. And they're going to punch you in the face. And you know what? You deserve it. And I know in an evolved society, that's not the answer. But again, sometimes it is the answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes there is a point where some violence is necessary. Does that mean that guy should be murdered? Absolutely not. No. But does that mean, you know, punch in the jaw might be warranted? If you're willing to go to jail for it, okay, that's cool.
I just worry about the people, though, who even in those instances, you know, because I'm sure for some of these people with these types of beliefs, I'm sure that they are not. I'm sure there's been moments where people have, you know, threatened to punch them or have or whatever. Maybe not all of them, but for some of them. What I worry about is it doesn't seem to deter some of them. Right.
No, like, this guy has already been convicted of being an insurrectionist and storming the Capitol. And he got away with it.
There is, and I guess my brain just doesn't work like this. So I don't understand. I don't understand how you can be that emboldened by putting down somebody else because of the color of their skin.
Look at the president. Look all the way down. Bullies are bullies are bullies.
I don't even understand how that works. I'm one of the most empathetic people there is. So I will never forever understand how that works because my brain just isn't wired to be okay with putting someone else down so that I feel better about myself or because I feel like I'm superior. I don't understand it.
Fear, insecurity, an anger that you can't identify, lack of self responsibility. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. You're always what about and them, and you never take responsibility for yourself, and then you feel inferior. So you're going to find anything to make yourself feel a little bit superior. And normally it's at the expense of somebody weaker or different. And especially when you know there are going to be down the road, there'll be immediate consequences. There might be small consequences. But he's already gotten away with one horrible thing. And everybody like him has seen, wow, all those insurrectionists got away and now they might get paid. Well, we can do whatever we want because down the road, I'm sure the president is going to take care of us.
Cindy from Appleton chiming in on our text line this morning saying, shun them. We should not honor any racists. Hide them away. If you do want to comment this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC.
I want to bring them out. I'm going to, I have to disagree with Cindy. And I get the sentiment, Cindy. Mm-hmm. But I want to know. I want to know if my neighbor, my boss, my friend, my coworker, I want to know if that's who they are.
Are they capable of being embarrassed? I mean, that's my question. Is there a level that they would eventually be so embarrassed they would want to hide away? Because I don't honestly know, based on what we've seen over the course of the last few years, based on incidents we've seen, incidents like this, is there a point where they do get so embarrassed or are... get to the point where they're like, no, this is just too much even for me, that they don't want any sort of this backlash and they do hide away or do they literally just not care?
Like that would take a level of self-reflection that I don't think they're capable of.
Sure.
So I think they will stay out in public and I think they will continue to complain and they will continue to voice their putrid opinions and let themselves be out there because, as you said, they are emboldened now. And why change?
And I know they feel like for some of these groups, based on things I've watched and read and people who were formerly part of these types of groups, they always talk about how they felt like they were being dismissed in some way and people of a different color, different nationality were getting a leg up. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say that the system is great for anybody. We have so many reforms that we need to make across the board in this country on so many different levels so that it is actually fair for everybody. But to literally think that it's because of the color of your skin that you're not getting something that somebody else is, I will never understand how that thought process even works.
Have you ever been part of drop culture? What is drop culture? We'll talk about that as we wrap things up. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. If you're in Hayward listening on WBZH or in La Crosse on WLCX this morning, thank you so much. It's 8:52. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Have you ever been part of the drop culture, or are you standing in line for products, which is really what drop culture is?
Yes.
When you get in line. I can't believe, I'm shocked that swatches are still a thing.
Love swatch watches.
I had so many swatches back in the day.
Loved them.
I was like a teenage girl, and that's no shade on teenage girls. But I love swatches because they were fun and they were inexpensive at the time, and you could match them, because Sartorial Splendor is always my goal.
My aunt and uncle owned a jewelry store. My family still owns a jewelry store. So I always had access. You know, they had the very fine jewelry, but then they had, the more fun jewelry as well.
I was going to say, swatches
So they had
in South Dakota, that's
they
a fun
had a
jewelry.
Little bit of, they had a little bit of a mix, but what was always fun is, because they carried the really expensive Swatch watches as well. Because the Swatch also makes the very expensive watch too, along with the fun, colorful ones. And so when those salespeople would come in, they'd drop a catalog on the table, right? In the jewelry store. So I'd have access. And I was all of 10, 12, 13 years old. I didn't care about the fine watches. I just wanted the bright, colorful ones with the big faces and the cool bands. So that was always the section of the catalog I went to.
Yeah.
And then I always got to pick out of the catalog.
Wow.
It was exciting.
Nice flex.
Thank you. It was exciting.
Man,
there's perks to some of these things.
That is a perk. Well, Swatch is back in the news because they had to close a bunch of stores in the U.S. They had to close a bunch of stores in Europe, not because of financial problems, but because people were losing their minds over a new pocket watch that was released the other day. 8 different pocket watches with Audemars Piguet on, they did that Saturday. So it's modeled after the Royal Oak, which typically starts at about $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
These are not that much. They're priced around $400 for a Swatch. Swatch is new items with Royal Peugeot. They are called the Royal Pops. And again, they start around $400. They have all different designs. So I saw footage the other day. Cops were pepper spraying people at an East Orange, New Jersey mall. They were closing malls all over because people lost their minds.
It's like Black Friday sale in 1999.
I know. And I'm like, I know people line up for new iPhones. And I know, like you said, they were trying to get toaster ovens back in the day. I know sneaker drops are huge.
Wow.
Maybe not as much as they used to. But this was crazy. I'm like, What are you doing? And I looked at them because,
fine.
Oh, maybe a pocket watch. Maybe I need to up my game with a pocket watch because I have a couple that I have to get repaired from my dad. But I don't know, a Swatch pocket watch.
I mean, here's the thing. As you mentioned, these retail for about $400, but if you get them and you sell them on the secondhand market, like an eBay, they're selling for thousands of dollars. I mean, there are some up on eBay right now for over $4,000 or best offer.
Or best offer. Here is my offer to you, Senator. You will get nothing.
I don't
Parker, that's a Godfather 2 reference.
I don't know if I've ever, the only thing that I can say that I've ever been part of this drop culture frenzy with is maybe concert tickets back in the day, or even when they're sold online, because you know it's an artist that maybe only tours periodically. The tickets are going to be astronomical, but you want the best seat because they might not ever tour again, or they haven't been on tour for a long time. So you do the drop culture type thing where you sit online or Ticketmaster, whatever your favorite ticket site is. And you know, back in the day when you actually stood in line to get concert tickets as well. Maybe that was the only time, but I've never, like, I don't want to pay retail price. I want to pay for it cheaper when it comes out later. I'm a good coupon discount promo code
I
shopper.
I look for everything on sale if I can get it. Also, I looked at these. Admittedly, I think I have aged out of the Swatch market. but even looking back, and no, Parker, you're not getting one for Christmas. But
I don't particularly like how they looked either. So
yeah, it was weird. But they follow in the footsteps of previous Swatch collaborations. Yeah. I honestly didn't know anything about this. They collaborated with Omega. Yep. I know Omega watches and Blancpain to produce bio-ceramic interpretations of the Speedmaster, dubbed the Moon Swatch, and Filthy Fathoms. No, it's 50 Fathoms. I'm getting a new prescription before the end of the summer. So I was like, Filthy Fathoms doesn't sound like a great watch name. It sounds like a movie that I tried to watch on Cinemax.
Tried
back
to pirate
in the day.
At one point.
Yeah. Like, whoa, what's going on? So, yeah, 11 billion views so far on social media for this watch.
I
don't want to yuck anybody's yum.
No,
I don't get it.
I like, if that's something that you really love, and I'll be honest, I still love a good
Swatch
watch.
But they don't really
love
them.
I love a good. They just want the money that you can get on the resale market. That's all they really want. I mean, unless you really, and there are some people who collect Swatch watches because they've been around for so long and they've gone through several reiterations. So maybe you just want a new one to add to your collection.
I probably should have kept mine. They'd be vintage.
Oh yeah, those go for big money online. Etsy,
really?
eBay, some of them.
I had
if they're like
10 or 12.
Oh, some of them do if they're like kind of the, because watch, in some of the watches that Swatch made at one time, they were limited edition. Not all of them were like mass produced. So if you can get some of those with some of the original packaging, some of those are still worth a lot of money. So I love a good Swatch watch.
The problem with everything I bought, I used.
Yeah.
Like, I never bought anything to collect it.
Yeah.
I bought it and I used it. So they go, oh, if you have the original packaging. I didn't have the original packaging 3 minutes after I got home. Because you know why? Because I opened this because I bought it and I put it on.
But I was,
well, you didn't save the box? No, why would I save the box?
People do that with like kids' toys and stuff, right?
Yes.
Like people now,
action figures and whatnot.
Cabbage Patch Kids, those are making a huge resale, have a huge resale market now. Like, I played with my Cabbage Patch Kids. I didn't keep them in a box.
We had a Russian Cabbage Patch Kid with all the paperwork, but the box was gone. Yeah, my brother got it for Christmas. He's a weirdo. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted for Christmas. Anyway, that's it for today. We're done. We got to get out of here. Thank you for listening and being a part of the program. We'll be back with you tomorrow. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 8:59. Thank you for listening today. It's the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.